Hello, I'm Carriad Lloyd. You may know me as the host of The Griefcast, and I want to let you know that I've written a book. It's called You Are Not Alone, and it's out now. It's inspired by all my conversations I've had on The Griefcast and some of my incredible guests, including Philippa Perry, Reverend Richard Coles, Nish Kumar, and Marianne Keyes. It is a book about life, it's a book about death, and it's a book to say again and again, in grief, you are not alone. It's available in all good bookshops now.
This is a message to anyone who hasn't had their coffee this morning. Guys, we get it, and we've got a deal to help. At Costa, you get a rich, strong, barista-made coffee. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? And an oh-so-flaky all-butter croissant from $4.99 until 11 a.m. So get up and go grab a deal at Costa. Costa Coffee. Price stated in select stores. Exclusions apply. Subject to availability. Full T's and C's at costa.co.uk.
Well, good day, everybody. Day four of the Euros. Three big games. Romania have already waxed Ukraine 3-0. Bit of a surprise result there, but then again, maybe not. In a little while, we've got Belgium taking on Slovakia. And then in the nightcap, Austria versus France. Well, for me, I am back at the fan zone in Cologne. I had some credential shenanigans. I know I told you about some of that thing that was going on yesterday. You know, if you don't have a match ticket, you can't get into the media center, which is mind-blowing for everybody concerned. This is the first time, I think, in the history of major tournaments, we're talking World Cups, we're talking Euros, that a member of the press can't go to the media center at the stadium unless they have a match ticket. Now, obviously, UEFA very concerned about journalists jibbing in. Not that I would ever do that, no. I even had a ticket for the England game yesterday. Lots of complaints, though, about the transportation, not just from me. So I'm glad it wasn't just me. I eventually made it back to my friend Oliver Hintz's at 3:30 a.m. Takes an hour from Gelsenkirchen to get back to Cologne. So you can only imagine just how brutal that was. All the trains completely packed, all delayed, and just a real shit show, to be honest with you. Really unpleasant. Came back and, you know, of course was super wired up, so could barely get to sleep. And then woke up this morning and hopped out of bed and had the most brutal case of plantar fasciitis. For any of you that have ever had plantar fasciitis, well, they'll tell you, it's so bloody painful. I mean, it's been going on for the last 3 or 4 days, but I don't think the walking from the train station, well, running actually, to catch a train about a mile and then multiple long walks really helped. So, yeah, a lot of pain. So I went to see my good friends at the media center here in Cologne, not by the stadium, of course. This is by the old town where they have the fan fest. And a delightful lady made some calls and found me an address. So got myself into an Uber. 25 minutes later, Dr. Eberman, dashing German, like 6'3", blonde hair, blue eyes. Yeah, Aryan nation. He fit the bill, but he was absolutely delightful. He took a look at my right foot and my right heel, oohed and aahed a little bit, then dug his finger in at just the right spot. Yeah, he knew where to go. Diagnosed it immediately and then proceeded to warn me of the dangers of having a cortisone shot. I said to him, I don't care what the dangers are, just jab. So that's what the good doc did, jabbed away. One shot of cortisone, it still bloody hurts tremendously. However, I'm very hopeful, but this time tomorrow afternoon, I am going to be fighting fit and raring to go because, yeah, I got a lot going on tomorrow. Turkey, Georgia in Dortmund. So that's going to be quite a schlep because from the station there is a really long walk. Portugal and the Czech Republic are also playing tomorrow. So the Euros moving along very, very nicely. Now, here at the fan zone in Cologne, it is populated with Scotland. Yep. There are so many Scottish fans here. It really is. It's amazing, actually. They're playing Switzerland on Wednesday, and obviously that's a huge game. Switzerland coming off their big win, and Scotland coming off their, their big loss, 5-1. Not that I want to rub it in or anything, but 5-1, yeah. In fact, there was a 5-1 scoreline between England and Scotland like a million years ago. I think I want to say that's 1975 or something along those lines. Not sure. But anyway, I digress. So these events, they do not run without volunteers. And had a chance to catch up with one such young man who has given me the lowdown on what it's like to be a volunteer. They all look very dashing, actually, in their kind of lime green outfits. And this really is a wonderful opportunity for some of these youngsters to experience big-time football and to, you know, learn a little bit about what tourists are up to, what reporters are up to. So enjoy. So I'm here with Finn Leubescher, one of the volunteers of Euro 2024 here in Cologne. Why did you want to be a volunteer?
Just to have like such a big tournament in Cologne, especially, and in Germany and in general, it's just, yeah, I just want to be part of it and want to be part of that everything's working out good. So just want to do my work here so everybody can be happy and enjoy a great tournament. And just want to be part of that and help making it the best summer in our lives.
What's the process to becoming a volunteer here?
You can just attend to it like via the internet or something. And of course it's good to have like a background or something. So I'm studying sports journalism here in Cologne. Work here in the media center. So basically that's just a good background. So if you have like a background in journalism or something, then you have your you talk to the managers and they will say, oh yeah, that fits, and they will bring you in here. Yeah.
So what are you hoping to experience during the 4 weeks of the tournament? Obviously, Germany started off the tournament very well. Here in Cologne, we have a huge fan fest, and there seems to be the whole of Europe has descended on Cologne. So what are you hoping to get out of this?
Just get to know some people. Yesterday, I was walking around in this city, and there are so many Scottish people, and I really like them, and it's like every nation in Europe is coming together, and it's so great to get to know their culture and to talk to them and so on. So that's just pretty fun, and like for my personal career, maybe just to have like contact with some journalists, or just get to know to the work of a real journalist. So that's what I hope to get out of it. But of course, in the first place, to have like the great atmosphere, like we're sitting right next to the fan zone here. It's so great during the days to have all the people, all the fans here. They're just celebrating to be here, and it's really, really fun.
Well, we're in one of the places in Cologne where people drink a lot. I mean, can you tell when the atmosphere starts changing, when people are getting really hammered?
Yesterday when the English game was on, all the Scottish people were like really on fire because they wanted Serbia to win. But it's very, very peaceful, and the people are behaving really good. So we have the famous carnival in Cologne, and people behaving worse when it's carnival. So right now, until now, we really have great people here. And of course, if the game is good, or if the game goes like the people want to, they can be really emotional about it, but that's really nice. So everybody's behaving great, just enjoy it.
And of course, the German national team, low expectations coming into the tournament. First game, they smashed Scotland 5-1. How are you feeling about their chances?
I mean, I always said that the first game is going to be the most important game, like for the tournament itself, like for the team, how it will enter the tournament, of course, and as well for how the people of Germany feel about the national team, because we had the last championships where we had like not that good first games. But right now, I think the whole country is really euphoric about the team. And yeah, as a German, I have to say we go into the finals and hopefully win the Euros. Like winning the Euros in your own country is like must be a great feeling then. But yeah, I think realistically we go to the finals and then we're gonna see who's coming up there. But I'm gonna say we're gonna be the European champions.
And last question for you. I was here in 2006 for the World Cup, based here in Cologne. How old were you then?
I was just 4 years old, so I basically can't really remember. I just remember the penalty shootout against Argentina, which was pretty great. And I can remember Gennaro Gattuso after his goal in the semifinals. But yeah, that's all I can remember, sadly.
Flint, thank you very much. I mean, it really must be such a thrill for a young kid to be involved in an event like this with so many people from around Europe and really around the world. I've seen a lot of Japanese, a lot of Chinese, a lot of Americans enjoying the sights, sounds and wonder of Euro 2024. Now, it has been said that football fans get bored unless there's football on the telly. I mean, there's only so much bevying you can do in one day, although judging by the Scots, they could bevy it up every single day. But no, for those of us that have to put the pints down and give our liver some respite, the FanFest is really a wonderful opportunity to do things related to the game. They've got a tech table there and saw some really skillful young men today. And they've also got some table football, foosball, where regular folk are allowed to play against one another. Well, it just so happens that I ran into somebody at the FanFest earlier today. It's a bit loud in the background, but that is the nature of FanFests. Pumping music, keep everybody excited, and well, check this guy out. I can honestly say I've never met a world champion until today.
Thomas Haas, who is perhaps the first world champion I've ever spoken to. He's the world champion of table football. Thomas, welcome to Inside Euro 2024.
Hello, thank you.
So, I know I was like busting your balls about being the world champion, but tell me, how do you become a world champion at table football?
Oh, that is a long story. I think it starts, like everyone starts to play table soccer. You start with a friend or in a bar, and then in the friend group, there's always one guy that is better than the rest. And we were better than our friends, and we thought we were actually good. We went to a tournament and figured out that we are actually not good at all, because tournament players, this is a different style, different level of game. But they were all very nice, showed us some stuff, introduced us to the club system. So we went to a club, practiced, and started playing more and more and more.
So how many hours a day do you practice this?
In preparation to the World Championships, I practice 8 hours a day. So it is a full-time job.
Full-time job. And so do you have like a sponsor? Do you win money? What's going on?
Actually, it is a hobby. So there's not very much prize money in football, because it does not have any media presence. But it's a great...
Well, until today.
Until today, yes. But it's a great sport. I really love it. And the prize money pays for the travels in most cases. So I'm able to travel around the world for the thing that I love. And that's okay.
Well, in America, you know, table football actually is quite popular. So the question is, how do you get good at table football? What are the tricks, techniques you use?
Oh yeah, I've been in America to play the tournament. So in the 70s in the US, football was actually the seventh biggest sport. So there was a time where it was possible to live from playing table soccer, but not anymore, sadly. You have practice routines, you have practice partners. There are actually different tables you need to practice on, because internationally...
This is a paid advertisement by BetterHelp. We are Chris and Rosie, the hosts of Shagged, Married, Annoyed. And if you've ever listened to our podcast, you might know that we're fans of therapy. So we don't lose sight of how to take care of ourselves.
Online shopping.
No, Rosie, would you?
Okay, all right. When add to cart is no longer your choice for inner peace, I get it. We highly recommend therapy to learn things like coping with stress or navigating grief.
Yes, and we are big fans of BetterHelp online therapy. We have been for a few years now. And with nearly 5,000 therapists in the UK, they can get you matched easily. And you can be on your way to...
telling your therapist about your latest purchase.
You can be on your way to feeling better in life.
For 10% off your first month of online therapy, visit betterhelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.
Oh, not near the house, please. Come on, up the other end of the garden.
It's fine, Mum!
Oh, it's gone straight through the kitchen window.
We'll get someone out to replace that for you. Don't worry.
With DirectLine's accidental damage cover added to your home insurance, whether you've smashed your window or spilt wine on your carpet, we'll get you from problem to solution as quickly as possible. DirectLine, we're on it.
Excess applies. Home insurance underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Girls, I've had an absolute nightmare.
What? Tell us!
No. It's too embarrassing.
No, you have to.
Okay, one sec. Let me turn my camera on. Stop. It said indigo husk on the back.
I'm so screenshotting this, babe.
Your hair's blue.
No, it's not that bad.
Really?
No crap, you look good.
I look like Papa Smurf.
Three's network is gigahertz, so yours can giggle till it hurts. Life needs a big network. Three.
There are five tables to be played on, so it is very structured, very professional, like a real sport, to be honest. Even though nobody knows about it.
So where did you win your world championship?
In Hamburg. So it was a home world championship, like the European Cup is this year for Germany.
And I mean, does this get, like, do you get fans coming to the games?
Most people coming to the games are players that are still interested and watching. It is actually really hard to follow the game of a professional player when you're not into the sports at all. So you need like 10 minutes of explanation of somebody who understands it to be able to understand the sport correctly. But I think it's the same in baseball or football or in all the other big sports. You need some knowledge about it, and that's why it's hard for people to actually follow along.
Well, Thomas, I'm pretty shit hot at table soccer, so let's go have a game and I'll see if I can whoop you.
Yeah, very, very nice.
As you can imagine, it was very nice for Thomas. He completely annihilated me. 10-0, but let's call it 9. Let's keep it single figures. Anyway, more to come. So as I've often said, I do bump into the most mysterious and wonderful people here in Germany, and right now in the little media center outside the FanFest in Cologne, Paul Roger from the Scottish Sun. Incredibly, he's still smiling, and he's just come from Munich. How are you, my son?
Thanks for that. Yeah, good evening. Yeah, it's been a bit of a rough couple of days. It's feeling a bit better now. I was at the game the other night. It just feeling was kind of a lot of dejection. There was such a huge build-up in the city. There's so many Scotland fans before the game. They packed out Marienplatz, like, the atmosphere was incredible. Even a lot of the locals were saying that they'd never experienced anything like it. And it was so, you know, harmonious, the way, like, the fans were mixing. You know, it was almost like a carnival atmosphere. But that kind of bubble of optimism was sort of shattered quite early on. Like, Germany are a world-class side. Not to make excuses, but coming into the tournament, I think there's maybe been a bit of overinflated optimism to a degree. There are, Scotland do have quite a few key industries. Guys like Aaron Hickey are out. He'll be a big miss for the team. London Dykes up front, he's one of the more physical strikers for the team. So it's difficult, but still in the competition. Still got a big chance to come back into it on Wednesday night, but the team need to pick themselves up.
Well, I'm going to have to, like, show my age right here, and you are describing Scottish optimism. I remember Ali McLeod in 1978. This was probably before you were even born. and the Scottish players going around Hampden Park as they were on their way to Argentina for that World Cup. And obviously, that World Cup, is so remembered for Archie Gemmell. You know, one of the greatest World Cup goals in history. And you mentioned the other thing about the carnival atmosphere. And I compare it actually to last night in Gelsenkirchen, where it really wasn't a carnival atmosphere. Actually, it got a bit hairy at times. Serbians and the English got into it. And that's always been one of the great things about the Scottish team and the Scottish supporters, is you bring such a festive atmosphere to all these tournaments. Where do you think that comes from?
I think it's kind of part of like maybe kind of Scottish culture. You know, there's a lot of kind of, they're very musical. You know, like there's a lot of, I think Scottish hospitality, it sort of feeds into that. You know, for instance, even take New Year, you know, it's Hogmanay is such a big thing in Scotland. I just think Scottish people may be a bit biased here, but I think they're just very good at partying and having a good time. And I think they like to share that. I think they like to be very open. And, you know, I think there was a comment where, you know, the Berlin the Munich authorities had said that, you know, with the Scotland fans, a lot of the time, some football fans, when they get under the influence of alcohol, maybe turn a bit violent. But if anything, with the Scotland fans, they become more cheery and, you know, more happy-go-lucky. So I think there's a mixture of things. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think there'll be isolated incidents. It's not to say that every Scotland fan is, you know, just these, you know, happy people who, but I think that's why they've been so loved over the years. They've won awards over the years for their, you know, being, you know, very harmonious and just kind of great sports.
So I've always been intrigued by that, though, because obviously one of the biggest derby games in world football, Celtic Rangers, and traditionally and over the years, there's been some, you know, some big time aggro, and yet when the Scots come together, so when Celtic and Rangers fans come abroad, or you know, are supporting Scotland, is all that animosity put to the side? Oh, I love the pregnant pause. He's got to think about that one, isn't he?
By and large, I'd say so, yes. Yeah, I'd say by and large, yeah. I can only speak from personal experience, and I've not witnessed any kind of clashes. There was talk the other night, and I think it was more something over nothing, I'd say, but I think there was a little bit of aggro with potentially a stag do. I understand there was a stag do of Rangers fans, and there was maybe a bit of aggro. But from what we've heard, it was nothing. There was maybe a few words said. There was no violence. But yeah, I don't think it.
So really, it's only Scottish on Scottish violence then, because as you rightly described, and I've seen it myself, the atmosphere and the good naturedness and the banter of the Scottish fans. I mean, really, I think it's second to none.
Yeah, no. I think they just find a good way of like. Find a nice way of having a good time, and I think there's a right balance, and I think it comes from that idea of maybe just like also not being away for so long, and as well, like, I mean, it goes back in history, like Scotland fans have always travelled well, and there's, you know, there's that big part of the support that are so committed in travelling. You know, there'll be a lot of people from across Scotland that maybe support even some perhaps lower league teams, and supporting the national team's probably such a special thing. It's almost a lifestyle choice, you know, going away to these competitions. There's people that have been all over the world following Scotland, and it's an investment, but, you know, it's a massive commitment. So I think it comes from that, you know, they don't want to spoil it. They don't want to, you know, get themselves potentially banned for doing something stupid. It's camaraderie as well. I think, you know, they're part of support of these big supporters clubs, and they'll maybe come from remote parts of Scotland, but then they come together and they'll go abroad, or they'll go to Hampden, and it's a big thing.
So how many Scottish fans are we going to expect in Cologne over the next couple of days? Because I've got a feeling that the Cologne Stadium is just going to be rammed.
It's tricky to say, because we've heard quite kind of conflicting reports that originally it was expected to be 100,000 Scotland fans in Munich, then it went up to 200,000. And then I think there was even someone said the other day that there was 250,000. But certainly, it's hard to say, because there was a lot of people maybe going for long weekends. Hey,
was there any beer left in Munich at the end of it?
There were actually some reports of bars running out of beer, which in the sort of beer capital of the universe in Bavaria is quite hard to believe. but then they didn't expect the Tartan Army to turn up, so...
So, you've got Switzerland, obviously it's a must-win game, and then Hungary. What would it mean to you personally to see the team advance into the knockout stages?
It'd be absolutely everything. It's history. It's moving the national team forward. You know, it kind of almost links to that thing where Scotland hadn't, discounting the last Euros where like it wasn't a proper overseas tournament in one country. The last major tournament we qualified was for France 1998, which is a long time ago. I was 5 going on 6. So that's a long, long time ago. But I think it kind of feeds into that sort of idea that, you know, Scotland have never reached the knockouts of a major competition before. So to reach the knockouts of this tournament by hook or by crook would be huge. It would be massive. And I think it would also inject some life back into, you know, the team. Because without droning on too much about the other night, I think there needs to be that optimism injected back into the national team. And I think there would be a real sense of belief. I think there's maybe a lot of people who are maybe a bit sceptical of Steve Clarke. There's a lot of people, I've spoke to a lot of fans myself, who've said, if we don't reach the knockouts, he probably has to go. I think there's a lot of people that think he's taking the team as far as he can go. To reach the knockouts would be incredible.
Last question for you, and I've got to ask. I mean, obviously the chances of England and the old enemy meeting in the final, pretty remote, but, you know, stranger things have happened. Tell me about this rivalry, England-Scotland, and why it is so important and so big.
I suppose it's kind of like almost that ideal, like Rangers and Celtic, obviously it's a city derby, and then obviously England, it's a sort of kind of British derby. I think it's one of those things that's kind of came back around in recent years. I think back in the day there was a lot more kind of England-Scotland matches, and then certainly growing up, they didn't really come back around again until maybe 2010 onwards. So to have those, I think it's just a good rivalry. I was at the Scotland-England game at Hampden, was that last September, the centenary?
The 2-2?
No, England won like 3-1 or 3-0. So, yeah, it wasn't a great game. I think these occasions they're some of the most memorable games. If it's some of the most memorable goals you might remember, was it, you know, back in 2017 when Lee Griffiths scored the 2 free kicks into Joe Hart at Hampden. Then I was watching on TV that there was, you know, highlights of Euro 96 with Gaza doing the, you know, the chip and the volley over the defender and then into the goal. So I just think it's a good rivalry, and I think you need that. Because at an international level, I think sometimes people kind of, rivalries can sometimes disappear maybe a little bit. But obviously you've maybe got in South America, Brazil, Argentina, Europe, you know, I don't know, maybe Netherlands, Germany. But I think England-Scotland's quite a unique rivalry, and I think it should be embraced. I think people should be... Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Paul Roger, the Scottish Sun, appreciate you joining Inside Euro 2024, and best of luck tomorrow, and best of luck moving forward in the tournament.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I didn't have the heart to remind our friend about England walloping Scotland 5-1 back in 1975 or something like that. Jerry Francis and Kevin Keegan scoring in that old firm derby. Well, not the old firm derby, the old enemy derby. But yeah, great catching up and really wonderful to hear how Scotland represents the British Isles so brilliantly whenever they go on their travels. And we've just had our first big upset. Slovakia turning over the golden generation of Belgium. That golden generation tag, such a heavy one to carry. Just ask England, 2002 to 2006, we all know about the golden generation. Anyway, that's me done for today. There is one more game going on this evening, but I will be tucking into some fine spaghetti carbonara cooked by my host and getting ready for festivities tomorrow. That's right. I am off on my travels again. I'll be going to Dortmund and one of my favorite stadiums in the entire world. the Westfalen Stadium for Turkey versus Georgia. Until then, well, have a great time and we'll see each other on day 5. Bye for now.
Today is the day we tune out the noise about health, the confusion and the misinformation. How many grams of protein, how much sleep, how many steps a day? Today, we can see the truth of what's happening inside our own bodies in real time. Use Lingo to monitor your glucose and see what works for your unique metabolism. Lingo, your body has the answers. Lingo is not for medical use and is intended for users 18 years and older. Do not use Lingo if you are pregnant. Lingo is a mark of Abbott.
All eyes on Germany this summer.
Come on, England! Come on, the town army!
I fancy us to win it this year, you know.
Yeah, we'll never hear the end of it if they do.
Sign up to Betfred Online this summer and get £50 in free bets when you stake £10.
In a big tournament, I like backing first goal scorer.
I love a knacker,
but nothing better than a free bet.
Love football?
Betfred!
New online customers only. £5, £10 free bets. Offer ends 14th of July. Odds restrictions on initial stake. T&Cs apply. 18 plus for gambleaware.org.
Oh, not near the house, please. Come on, up the other end of the garden.
It's fine, Mum!
Oh, it's gone straight through the kitchen window.
We'll get someone out to replace that for you. Don't worry.
With DirectLine's accidental damage cover added to your home insurance, whether you've smashed your window or spilt wine on your carpet, we'll get you from problem to solution as quickly as possible. DirectLine, we're on it.
Excess Supplies, home insurance underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Girls, I've had an absolute nightmare.
What? Tell us!
No, it's too embarrassing.
No, you have to.
Okay, one sec. Let me turn my camera on. Stop! It said Indigo Husk on the back.
I'm so screenshotting this, babe.
Your hair's blue.
No, it's not that bad.
Really?
No cap, you look good.
I look like Papa Smurf.
Three's network is gigahertz, so yours can giggle till it hurts. Life needs a big network. Three.